Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. We are doing it, Kev Walsh. I know you're excited. I'm excited. We've been waiting a couple of weeks, at least, for this moment. It's always, for me, one of the most fun times of the year. The NBA owning their offseason and kicking it off today, July 1st, and happy July to all of you. Happy July 4th week. I don't really know what July 4th weekend is. I had an argument with some friends about this yesterday. I think it's kind of dealer's choice whether you celebrate this weekend or next weekend. But nonetheless, hope you're enjoying a few days off during this holiday week, and we're kicking it off with NBA free agency. Fun time of year. We obviously have a lot of news to get to. Kev, you stayed up till 3 in the morning last night, so you have some information for us, and I'm going to list out the other stuff. But obviously, this is one of your favorite times of the years.
Yeah, I absolutely love this. I mean, especially when you have some of the bigger names in the sport potentially moving places. Obviously, we got some of the biggest names on the markets already kind of making their decisions last night, but I love this stuff. I'm obsessed with player movement. I find the whole thing captivating. It's the same with the NFL. It's the same when the trade deadline comes around for baseball. But the NBA's free agency, I mean, there are a few things as fun. And you know, one of the things that I think is crazy is it starts at midnight, and there's stuff happening. I remember just thinking to myself, kind of just even as we were getting closer and closer to as the clock was ticking down, like, why, you know, and people were kind of saying, like, why don't they do this at a normal time? And it's like, yeah, it kind of adds to the craziness of the whole thing. It's midnight, we're all up, and we're all going crazy over where Doug McDermott is going. I love it.
Yeah, that's right. It's all going to be, all of the news and information is going to be sucked up by all of the big name free agents, but this is a really deep free agency class. So we are going to go through all the major stories first and then try to talk about the minor pieces and why they might mean something greater. I would just submit Marco Bellinelli and Arian Ilyasova leaving the Sixers as potentially creating room for somebody else, perhaps more profile than them. But let's just get to the big one first, and that's Paul George signing with the Oklahoma City Thunder. He opted out. I think there's a couple of ways to go on this. Obviously, it's huge news that he signs for 4 years, $137 million. It is a player option for year four, but he signs on with Russell Westbrook, who some thought might be driving people away with his style of play. But Paul George, at a party last night at Russell Westbrook's house, decides he's staying in OKC for at least three more and possibly four more years.
This is a massive story. Typically, right, when players return, maybe it's not as big of a deal. But this has so many implications. I think the biggest one probably is the idea that he might have been looking to go to L.A. and could have joined with LeBron. But I don't know about you, but Mike, for me, this has to send some type of message to the rest of this league with this Kawhi Leonard situation, not to steal away from Paul George, but that's just where my initial reaction was turned to, because Paul George it was all but a foregone conclusion that he was going to play wherever it was that the Pacers traded him for 1 year and then was going to fulfill that dream of being a Laker. And he goes to Oklahoma City, and I think one of the big things that does come out of this as well is this is a big boost for the narrative that will surround Russell Westbrook, because what keeps him there ultimately and pretty much over everything else was the relationship and friendship that which he built with Westbrook. But for me, the initial reaction was, if you are Philadelphia, a Boston, or a Miami, whoever it may be, or if you're the Lakers, you have to now feel like moving for Kawhi Leonard does have an extra bit of urgency because these things are not the locks that they seem today.
Yeah, so three things on this. There's probably more than three, but here's the three. I agree with your point regarding the Russell Westbrook narrative. I've heard very experienced NBA reporters and broadcasters talk about the fact that OKC is aware that Russell Westbrook's style of play, as impressive as it is problematic. Putting up a million shots in a game in which they were limited. Keep in mind, this team is one and done in the playoffs, getting ousted by the Jazz in six games. So Russ putting up a ton of shots. I think Paul George, what was he, like 2 for 12 shooting that night for 6 points or 12 points or something like that?
It was awful.
When Russ put up 30, nearly 40 shots in that type of effort, and they were ousted in that game. So there is a thought process that Russell Westbrook's style of play, as impressive as it is, the triple-doubles, is still somewhat problematic when it comes to winning a championship. That's one. This helps because, to your point, they have a superstar that signed on with them, decided to stay there. Number two, huge luxury tax implications. This could be, if everybody stays, the most expensive team of all time. Now, think about that. That's a one-and-done playoff team. They would pay upwards of $130 million in luxury tax. This also has led some people to speculate that Carmelo is going to get dumped somewhere in order to have some relief on that front. I mean, teams looking for salary cap space, who knows? Maybe it leads to a team doing what the Nets did with Dwight Howard, buying him out, let him go somewhere if somebody has available cash. The third one, and I find to be maybe as important as the previous two that I mentioned, he didn't even take a meeting with the Lakers. He just didn't entertain the thought. The OKC has obviously done a very good job over the last 12 months in recruiting him. So he's got Russ there. I also think it's really important to note, for me personally, and I would think the more thoughtful players would consider this as well, people do trust the way Sam Presti runs the organization. He has an eye for talent. They obviously made a huge miscalculation a couple of years back in not being able to pay James Harden, but I think they're over that now. And you know, that was obviously potentially a championship-winning team with all three of those, Russ, KD, and James Harden there. That would have been as good a team as there was in the NBA. So while that was a miscalculation, I think Sam Presti has shown over time that he knows how to build an organization, and I think players do have some faith in that. It may be a small-market team, Oklahoma City, you don't think of as a huge free agency destination, but when you're building a winning culture, then I think it can attract more guys. And now, obviously, you have this team here, which could be poised to be better than they were. It takes some time sometimes for these teams to come together. So I'll pass it to you.
So on the Carmelo front, here's kind of the situation that they're at. They're currently with not only the Paul George deal, but also the Grant contract that they signed. They are.
Let me update everybody on that one quickly. That was Jeremy Grant. He signs a 3-year deal for $27 million, I believe. I've got 10 lists in front of me, folks, so forgive me. But there's 3 years, $27 million, player option for year three. But OKC felt that to be a pretty important deal. So go ahead.
So with both of those contracts signed, the Thunder are looking at a salary plus repeater tax bill of $289.9 million, and that is without filling out their roster currently. If they stretch Carmelo Anthony's contract, it will drop it to $180.3 million. Stretching Carmelo Anthony's contract will save this team over $100 million. There is no bigger guarantee that comes out of last night than the fact that Carmelo Anthony will not be on the Oklahoma City Thunder next season. There's just absolutely no way.
So for some of our listeners that may not be that listen to us for football and baseball and a little bit of basketball, explain what the term stretch means.
So they basically would then
about stretching the contract.
Yeah, so they'll turn his contract, which is, I think, right now it's only 1 year. So yeah, Carmelo's not making $100 million. What that means is they're going to stretch out the payments over what could a number of years, and it could be. It could be 5 years. It could potentially be longer. But also, because it's a luxury tax repeat, the numbers increase. So being able to go away from being, you know, that 27 over, it can now, it obviously, as you see within the number, it drops everything substantially. Now, a buyout could also be coming, which I think certainly is in play. But regardless, there's just no way Melo was on this team. You also, though, I think mentioned something that was really key that did come out of this, is the fact that he did not meet with the Lakers. He didn't meet with anybody. And in fact, the way Paul George operated in this, even if his plan was to go back to Oklahoma City, was a bit odd. I'm not sure if you saw the reaction that Brian Windhorst had on The Jump on ESPN's free agency special, but it was complete disbelief in the way Paul George went about this. And part of that was the fact that he signed the 4-year or the 3+1 contract to stay in Oklahoma City, because now the people are, they have their projections already set for what next year's offseason will look like and the following offseason. Currently, the cap is at $101 million. It is expected.
Yeah, let me set that up, and I'll pass it back to you, because you stole the words right out of my mouth. I think what's important to know, and I probably should have done this from the beginning, the NBA has informed teams of 2018-2019 salary cap and tax. The new salary cap for this year is $101.9 million for the 2018-2019 season. The projection for the 2019-2020 cap is up to $109 million. And then for the following season, the 2021, $116 million. So it will grow by $14 million in just the next 2 years, which, frankly, when you have non-tax mid-level exceptions of $8.6 million and taxpayers' mid-levels of $5.3 million and so on, those are legitimate free agents to add if you're adding another $14 million to your cap in the next 2 years.
So because of that, the contract that Paul George could sign if he did a 3-year deal, a 2+1, 2 years, and then a player option after one, he would have been eligible for the 10-year veteran maximum with a number of other qualifications. He could have signed a deal. He could have been long-term in OKC, but he could have maxed out his contract or capitalized financially a lot better than what he did. So the whole thing is strange in a way, and it did lead someone to mention, and I'm not saying that this is the case, a lot of guys have surgery within their offseason, but Paul George did have surgery on his left knee in the offseason that was scheduled around early May because of their early playoff exit. And it's not to throw out there that maybe Paul George has gotten back unflattering reports, but there is something very strange about Paul George for 2 years, 3 years, having his eyes set on going to L.A., one of his well-known, very, very close friends in the league, LeBron, looking like he is zoned in on going to Los Angeles, and him not only not taking a meeting with them, but there were a number of other teams that really wanted to be in the Paul George sweepstakes: Houston, Philly, and probably a couple of others if he were willing to take the meeting. So the fact that it was all pushed aside, I guess you have to give all of that credit to Oklahoma City, because one of the things is they said OKC was operating under the impression that he would be returning. They felt confident about it. The party that Russell Westbrook threw last night, there were Oklahoma City upper management at this party. I mean, Paul George was there.
Everybody knew going into the people in the know were all in the room at the time for the most part. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Lakers not getting a meeting is a huge piece of this. I thought Paul George was going to the Lakers for about, 18 hours or so between the opt-out and the time that he announced. I thought that opened it up for him and LeBron to get together. I've been traveling some. I've been in a little bit of a travel bubble. But I really thought that when he opted out, I thought that it was just, at least he was going to go talk to the Lakers, and he didn't even do that. So I do think that's a.
If that's because the pitch
Magic
got
laid
released.
It out a couple of days ago. Magic laid it out a couple of days ago, and if I don't do this in the next 2 years, then we need to move on. So far, not so good for Magic Johnson. Doesn't mean that it's over yet, because Kawhi is still out there, Boogie Cousins is still out there, and the like. So that's it. I'll give you one last thing on the Paul George thing. We can obviously come back to it, but one last thing I want to update people on a few more deals.
I think the really big thing to then is, I think Philly does stand out in this whole process, because Philly has that max cap space that they can use on a big name free agent, and they are saving it for LeBron But obviously now with Paul George out of the running as well, Kevin Durant didn't leave. That is something to follow, I think. And Paul George to Philly just made a lot of sense to me, but obviously what mattered most to him was going back to Oklahoma City. It wasn't super shocking, but when you really get into the decision, it is a little bit of a head scratcher.
So Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer earlier this week wrote a really good article about how the Sixers could pull off LeBron and Kawhi. LeBron or Kawhi, he did a really good job of breaking it down. And frankly, we'll start the next segment with the Sixers because a couple of those minor moves mean that something bigger could be brewing. I had one more final point on the Paul George thing, and there's so many things going on. I just I spaced on it. Oh, I know what it was. The Paul George signing for a longer deal. I always scratch my head, and I would probably be as apoplectic as Brian Windhorst was last night. But he is a player who uniquely faced his own basketball mortality with a gruesome injury playing for USA Basketball. I think given your report on what happened with the knee surgery, it's wild speculation, but I would ultimately say that when a player is faced with something like that, it could be something that maybe motivated him to sign earlier than he otherwise would have. I'll let you comment on that when we come back. We'll talk about the Philadelphia 76ers moves. There's plenty of other bigger contracts out there. Nikola Jokic having a good morning. It's Mike Blewett and Kevin Walsh on Fantasy Sports Today. We're talking NBA when we come back right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back on FST. Good stuff out of Sean Engel producing today. I told him it's a hip-hop day. We got NBA all day. We're doing an NFL. We'll do that as well. It's probably hour number two, but we'll see how many stories come rolling in with the NBA. We're going to spend a lot of time on that here in the first hour. Before that, who wants to go to a 2018 World Series game? Tune into the Fantasy Sports Radio Network between July 8th and July 17th. So we're basically 1 week from today. We're getting it started, as we'll be playing the DKMS Trivia Challenge for your shot to call in with a chance to attend the Fall Classic in person. The number to play is 844-843-6879. That's 844-84-FNTSY. The contest is sponsored by DKMS, who are looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival. While 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their families, 70%, nearly 14,000 each year, must rely on a benevolent stranger to step up and donate. Find out how you can help the cause and go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS. It's the DKMS Trivia Challenge, July 8th through July 17th. Call in and win. So if you want to reach out to us today, please do so at FNTSY Radio. On Twitter, I'm at Mike Blewett. Kevin is at the Kevin Walsh. And again, the number is 844-843-6879. For those of you listening via the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, thanks for downloading and listening for free. If you're on TuneIn Radio or iHeartRadio or a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country, thank you. We appreciate you listening, and hopefully you're having fun with our NBA updates. So let's get to – well, first, I want to let you comment, Kev, on what I said about the Paul George mortality thing. I think that is the one factor that can get somebody like that to sign early, even if he's sacrificing money. And do – I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you know the number that he potentially sacrificed? How many millions?
I don't know the exact number that he sacrificed. I don't know if anybody might know exactly how much he would have sacrificed if he would have said, take a three-year deal with 2 years and then the player option. I don't know if that exact number is out there yet because I don't know. Because the thing, too, is the cap could change, right? Like, those numbers are projected, so they could be moved. I will say, in terms of the mortality point, I think that it makes a lot of sense because it is a move that is a... It's a tad interesting. It just doesn't make all that much sense in a way. Not going back to OKC, but going back this way. Why cost yourself this money? And if it's a situation for Paul George where it's like, I know where I am. I know where I want to be. I want to be here long term. I'm not going to. Because I do think in a way, the way LeBron operates, I think sometimes we almost get clouded by that. We think, oh, a lot of players should operate that way. And we see Kevin Durant's kind of operating in a similar way. But for, you know, maybe that's not for everybody. Like, they just want the security. I've got 4 years. I don't need to play this one-for-one, the two-for-one deals. And they just kind of settle down, and now Paul George knows where he's going to be for at least the next 3 years of his career, barring some crazy trade.
True. You know, like the Kawhi Leonard stuff, and I'm looking at a report right now as I'm watching NBA TV in the background. The Spurs are re-engaging Kawhi Leonard trade talks, so... That may say it's tough because we get into wild speculation a lot, but it may say that they've tried to reconnect with Kawhi, and maybe there isn't a lot there. He's just saying, "Look, I've made my bones with it. I'm gonna move elsewhere." And we've talked about the Kawhi, what he could be conceivably sacrificing. He can sign a supermax with the Spurs that would be a 5-year, $219 million deal. If he waits a year and re-signs with the Spurs, it would be for $189 million. And if he waits a full year and then becomes an unrestricted free agency, it would be a 4-year, $139 million contract. So he is sacrificing serious money by not supermaxing with the Spurs right now. So anyway, something to consider. It's why we made the comparison. I'm making the comparison with Paul George, how he may have left money on the table. But anyway, so we'll put that one behind us and get to some of the other deals. Kevin Durant, he re-ups with the Golden State Warriors as expected, reported by Mark Stein. That's 2 years, $61.5 million. It's a player option for year two, so he can conceivably opt out if there's more money to be had next year. I would imagine this one might stay in place. Nikola Jokic, sorry, I'm struggling with that pronunciation. I'm normally pretty good with that, but Nikola Jokic, this was reported earlier this week. He technically doesn't get the full max, but he's looking at a 5-year, $148 million deal to stay in Denver. So they have one of the best young big men now. Let me continue to go down the list. Will Barton. So Denver really signing up some of their guys that were pending free agents. They get Will Barton back on a 4-year, $54 million a year. That's a player option for year four. Let me keep going down the list. DeAndre Jordan, 1 year for $24.1 million. He goes to Dallas, which everybody's making the joke. Are you sure about it this time? Because last time he wasn't so sure about it when he agreed to a deal and then backed out, went back to the Clippers. He probably should have just gone to Dallas in the first place. And I'll do the last big one before we get to some of the other minor deals. And I should do two at the same time. So Chris Paul, the other big free agent, he comes back to Houston, 4 years, $160 million. Huge number. It could have been as much as 46 or 47 if he took a shorter deal, but he goes for the longer term deal, 4 years, $160 million, and that coincides with Trevor Ariza leaving Houston, going to Phoenix on a one-year $15 million deal. So those are the major ones. We'll get into some minor deals, but what of that group, which one jumps out to you first? Why don't you talk about Nico first, because that's an important one for Denver.
Well, yeah, the Jokic signing is huge. I mean, he's one of the best young bigs in the league. They had him on what had to probably be the best value contract in all of basketball because he was a second-round pick originally, and he was superstar is stretching it, but he was a top 20 player in the league playing at under $5 million a year. It was an absolute steal what they were getting, Matt, and they had no choice here. The real interesting thing, I think, coming for Denver, though, is also the Will Barton deal that you mentioned, and this deal kind of was given to us before midnight. That was one of the more interesting things I think that came out of last night was Woj and Shams. They started giving us all of these contracts even before we got to midnight. But the big thing now for Denver is they're on the hook for about $53 million in the luxury tax. So they're now going to have to find ways to offload some contracts. And people think that Kenneth Reed, Plumlee, potentially even Wilson Chandler could all be on the move in order to get that number down. Probably the craziest thing that came out of last night, because some people thought that they would be able to get Will Barton back, and they were, and everybody knew that they were going to be bringing back Nikola Jokic. After all of this, they have now aggressively started to pursue a meeting with LeBron James. Now, people immediately pointing out LeBron said he didn't want meetings. Denver doesn't seem to care. Denver is also, as I just mentioned, already in such a poor spot within the cap that I don't know how they would ever even be able to clear that money to get him to fit. I also don't think that LeBron would consider going to Denver. But one of the more interesting and surprising wrinkles, I would say, of last night was Denver saying, come on, LeBron, just come sit down with us.
Yeah, look, he's in his quote-unquote decision cave down in Anguilla with some of his closest friends.
He's in L.A. now, though.
Is he? He was at the decision cave. His agent, mm-hmm. Rich Paul, is in Los Angeles because he has business with other players, so he couldn't be holed up in a situation like that. So if he's out in L.A. now, is he just hanging out at one of his houses? Is he doing some negotiating? He said he wasn't really going to take elaborate presentations. It doesn't necessarily mean he can't have conversations or normal meetings.
I can give you the LeBron updates.
He doesn't need a recruiting trip, but please do.
So pretty much everyone followed. It's so wild what the internet does, but they connected the dots of the one flight from Anguilla to L.A. They found out when he landed. There was a ton of paparazzi there. They knew he was in L.A. And at 12:01 on the dot, as soon as free agency opened, Rich Paul, LeBron, and Colby Altman, the Cavaliers GM, were on the phone. And that does not say that he's going back to Cleveland, but I guess this thing is not as complete as maybe we once thought. So LeBron has now had a conversation with Cleveland. I saw one person, and I only saw one person tweet it out, but I do not think that it was any type of joke saying that LeBron had a dinner reservation with Magic Johnson. Again, perhaps it was facetious, but I saw that kind of reported, but again, it was only by one person. I didn't dig into it. So LeBron is in the middle of making his runs. I would anticipate that we get this decision on probably like Monday around 11 or so. That's kind of what I would think, because he said he doesn't want this to carry into the 4th of July. And also, you have to kind of, if you're going to go elsewhere, or no matter, regardless of what you're going to do, you want to be able to have your new team or old team, whatever it may be, in the running to get some of these guys that are willing to take a little bit less to compete for a championship.
So, you know, I think some people are a little surprised that LeBron wasn't the first domino to fall. I didn't think he would be, because I heard speculation that he could go as late as Thursday on this, as he was having discussions. To your point, it probably happened sooner than that. But, you know, we saw KD was in the Hamptons a July 4th weekend a couple of years ago. That's how the term the Hamptons Five got together. So this stuff can stretch out potentially a couple of more days. We're really in the first, this is the first 9.5 hours of free agency. So there is some time for him to have discussions, take meetings, whatever it might be. I think LeBron is the type that would at least take a meeting with Magic. I don't care if that dinner reservation is real or not. I'd imagine he's going to sit down with Magic and have a discussion about things. Doesn't necessarily mean he has to sign there, but you know, two of the greatest players of all time, I think I'd imagine they could sit down and hash out a discussion and see what the thing is. I know somebody like Chris Sheridan, who's a very experienced and respected NBA insider reporter, has been for a year saying that LeBron is 100% out of Cleveland. I don't think it's 100%. I think that, as I've said in the past, yeah, I get that his son is playing high school basketball in L.A. He's got the two homes out there. LeBron is still a relatively young guy. The family can move to L.A., and he can finish his final year if he opts back in on a one-year deal or, say, a one-plus-one, and then move to L.A. It doesn't have to happen right now that he's got to transition to L.A. and start his movie-producing career and be out of Cleveland right now. He's still a pro basketball player first, and those guys are on the road all the time. So even if his home, and I put that in quotes, is in L.A., he's still gone for 6 months, and it's all right. He can visit in L.A. whenever he's in town playing the Clips or the Lakers and so on. I get that he wants to be a bigger part of his family's life, but as I said before, I'm nowhere near a professional athlete, and I have tons of friends that have had to move to other cities in advance of their families to try and start a new job, and then the family comes later, or vice versa. So I just state that, yes, I could see him going back to Cleveland, but I'd be far more interested, obviously, in the Philly and L.A. and whatever other rumors continue to happen. But would you say for LeBron, Houston's closed out now, correct?
Yeah, Houston's done. And they Houston said they're going to pretty much, once he didn't opt into the option, which really took them off the table, that they were going to focus on their own free agents, which did not pan out probably as expected. I mean, the Trevor Ariza deal probably isn't one of the headlines for a lot of people. Again, I think we should definitely get to the Kevin Durant deal and even the Chris Paul deal. I think they are noteworthy, even if they were not surprising. But the Trevor Ariza one was probably the most surprising contract. The 1 year, $15 million, he clearly wanted to hit the top dollar. But I don't know if that was going to go away, because I come back to Philly. Not that Philly would have ever used anything near a max on Trevor Ariza, but maybe Philly's willing to give him 3 years at $13 million for his services to come over, because he fits what Philly needs. And they're certainly at risk of missing out on the big names that they are trying to acquire. So I was a bit surprised to see Trevor Ariza, who we once heard the report might be willing to take less to go to Golden State, 20 minutes, whatever it may be, into free agency, going 1 year, 15 for Phoenix, please.
Yeah, and look, Trevor Ariza is an odd player in this sense. A lot of, first of all, he's 33 years old. He turned 33 yesterday, actually. He just turned 33. So, but, and he's been on, I'm trying to count him up right now. This is his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th team. Technically, Houston was twice, so I guess 7 organizations. But he's moved around a lot. Some people agree that some people would agree and say he's a very talented player. Yet he's been on eight different organizations. He's moved around a lot. So he's always a curious player to me, because I think he's talented. Forget the fact that he went 0 for 10 or whatever it was in game 7 there. It's a bad game. I get it. But he is a sought-after commodity by some organizations, and has been. But for him to join this kind of team is the head-scratcher. You're talking about Philly. He could have conceivably stayed in Houston. There's other destinations, I'm sure, which would have looked for him as an asset. And now he's joining a team with Brandon Knight, Devin Booker, Marquise Chris, DeAndre Ayton. Not exactly challenging the Warriors at this point. So he's the veteran leader there, along with Jared Dudley, who comes off the bench. So maybe they needed, and Tyson Chandler's there as well, maybe they needed somebody that was yet another veteran presence for this young team.
And they've invested in the young wings with Josh Jackson, let 2 years past draft, and now this year's draft, or last year's draft rather, for Josh Jackson, and now this year's draft, they added Mikal Bridges to the trade. So at the bare minimum, you have Trevor Ariza kind of come in and show these two young guys, the tricks of the trade. So I think that even that alone can bring its value. There are some people already talking about just will they commit to a very small ball starting lineup of Booker, Jackson, Bridges, Ariza, and Ayton? Very possible. I think that would be something to follow as well. But a lot of people were saying this is a big win for the Warriors, because he was important to the Rockets. As tough to watch as that performance was in that game 7, specifically from Trevor Ariza, probably more than anybody on that court, he was still a really big part of what they did. We can't get lost in the fact that not only were the Rockets an historic offense last year, they were a top 10 defense in the NBA. So losing someone like Trevor Ariza is a big blow to them. And I also thought that he could have been a prime candidate of someone who might join LeBron in LA. He was once a Laker, won a title with the Lakers. And I thought that he could have been interested perhaps in that type of move. So it was a real shocker to me.
Yeah, so, and it's just a curious destination. But Phoenix obviously gave him what he felt like he wanted at this point. And that's the deal for Trevor Ariza. I wanted to see if there's any other deals that we – why don't we come back, talk about KD, where the Warriors might go next, some rumored guys going to Golden State. We'll talk about those when we come back and maybe update you on some of the minor deals. I put that in quotes. So we'll come back, talk Philly, and we'll talk the Warriors right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back, going crazy with NBA free agency right now. Mike Lute and Kevin Walsh on FST. Thanks for listening. So let's go. Dame, the Twitter thing with the NBA free agency is just crazy, and the NBA players have been trolling the public for the last. It's got to be a good 6 years that they started figuring out how to troll the entire NBA watching public with Twitter. Damian Lillard just sent out a tweet. Was that just now that he sent that?
No, I think it was last night, which was a little more worrisome because two tweets down, he sent a broken heart emoji over Ed Davis leaving for Brooklyn. Damian Lillard is not shy at all. He requested a meeting, I remember, with the GM saying, are we winning here? He was very upset when they let Will Barton leave. As you can see, Will Barton clearly a player that's valued in the NBA, getting that 4-year, $50 million deal from Denver. Now Ed Davis goes, and I mean, last night they brought in Nick Stauskas. I know it's not to take us down a rabbit hole, but there were people who kind of, when they were just thinking about who could possibly end up in L.A. with LeBron, some people thought that Damian Lillard could make some sense, right? Like maybe the pairing of Lillard and McCollum is redundant. Maybe they would be interested in Alonzo Ball. Maybe they'd be interested in a reset. No guarantees. But I also wouldn't put it past Damian Lillard to request a trade at all if he feels like they're not moving in the right direction.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, and Ed Davis only goes to Brooklyn on 1 year, $4.4
really
million
nice
deal. It's not like he broke. It's not like he broke the bank with that. But anyway, it was a peace emoji and a clock emoji. So the speculation underneath that was hilarious to read. But let me refocus on Golden State. So KD signs a 2-year, $61.5 million player option for year two. We mentioned that earlier. Speculation about buyout type players or guys coming in on sweetheart deals. Dwight Howard, Jamal Crawford, Tyreek Evans. Those are three names that I've heard bandied about, which is crazy to me in this sense. They're not quite the Spurs when it comes to culture, but I think it's been really important to them that have had good culture guys. You can talk all you want about Zaza Pachulia and JaVale McGee being either stiffs or dirty players, but David West has been an important calming veteran presence for this team. And when you talk about Dwight Howard and Tyreek Evans, those guys have known to be, let's just say, unpopular with teammates, mercurial, effort question by on the part of both guys. But maybe it's almost like a Patriots thing where we're going to bring him in and he's going to refocus and he's going to be exactly what we need him to be.
I think of all of, if they get Tyreek Evans, I'm going to be furious because he's far too good to go over there and be their ninth man. The Dwight Howard one, though, is hysterical because there are people saying if Dwight Howard ever wants to be loved again, he goes and ruins everything in Golden State, which I mean, he really just, everywhere he goes, he seems like he's not liked. And I mean, the fact that he was demanding to start in Brooklyn before anything even happened, I guess there has to be something to it. I did think that this Kevin Durant deal was noteworthy. Some people might say that, oh, listen, perhaps that, you know, he's looking forward to what the cap space can be, but this has been the expected contract for him to sign, him leaving himself this 1 year, one out type of contract. And it's already, I think it was Bobby Marks who tweeted it out, that he saved them roughly $20 million in luxury tax money by taking the deals that he has taken for the Golden State Warriors. He's done his part. I just don't know. I would not guarantee that this is a, I'm going to keep doing these 1 year, one opt outs. At some point, he is going to have to sign the big contract. And with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and the extension talks coming, I do think that we are in for a more interesting time with Golden State. I don't think that things will be as certain as they were this offseason, where we all knew that he was going to go back for better or for worse. So I think that it is something to at least monitor. I would not guarantee you, because these dynasties, they don't last forever. That's why.
Oh, I've said this before. I mean, they've won 3 of 4, but, you know, the clock could be ticking. Klay is a really interesting one, because Klay can demand top dollar if he becomes an unrestricted free agent. We've talked in the past, you and I have talked in the past about the presence of larger apparel and shoe deals. You have three guys on that team alone that have significant deals: Steph, KD, and Klay Thompson. Although it is a foreign deal that people aren't as familiar with, it's an $80 million deal. KD, look, KD, guys like KD and Harden and Steph Curry, yes, they should demand near top dollar or top dollar in the NBA. They should get whatever they want, but it softens the blow when somebody's sitting on nine figure shoe and apparel deals. It just does. So they can look at their net worth, and if it's hypothetical, 250 instead of 300, I think they can live with it, because NBA players have gotten smarter, especially the top guys, about off the court stuff and what they're investing in and all that kind of stuff. And I credit guys like Michael and LeBron for that.
And I think this thing, so next year it'll be an unrestricted free agency for Klay Thompson, assuming that Kevin Durant opts out, which he will. He will also be an unrestricted free agent, and then Draymond will have just 1 year left on his deal, and he has said he's not taking a pay cut. So
he's the type of guy that can't take the pay cut.
Yeah, and
he can't take the pay cut.
He took the pay cut to allow them to have the room for Kevin Durant to be there. And Steph Curry didn't take any type of pay cut. Probably part of that was he ended up being on what was a pay cut, because he ended up getting healthy and everything panned out, right? Remember, he signed that $12 million a year deal because of the ankles and the unsureness that came with his play. So I think that this is kind of a situation where we know what we have now. The Warriors are going to be the favorites to go for a three-peat, and as they should be, especially since Kawhi, LeBron, and Paul George isn't going to be a big three that they're going up against. So it would be a lesser. So they should be the favorites in all of that. This very well could, though, be the last year of this Warriors team. I will also say this quickly, because I've said long that the best thing that could happen would be Kevin Durant leaving, and I think that Kevin Durant should leave. I do think the idea that LeBron is going to head to L.A. actually gives Kevin Durant a very, very real reason to stay, though, to kind of see if he can then beat again a LeBron super team, withhold him from going to the finals, and then he kind of has free reign in a way to do whatever he wants, right? Like stay and complete that goal again of being able to beat LeBron on a team that perhaps is at least somewhat decently equipped to compete with next year's Warriors. So I think him coming back, obviously it makes a ton of sense, but this very well could be the last time we see all four of these Warriors together.
Yeah, I think we have like 10 of the Warriors locked in right now. It's Steph, Klay, Iguodala, Draymond Green, Jordan Bell, Kevin Durant, Sean Livingston, Quinn Cook, Damian Jones, Jacob Evans. Those are the guys that are still under contract or now newly under contract. All these restricted free agency guys are Pat McCaw, JaVale McGee, Nick Young, David West, Kevon Looney, Zaza Pachulia, Chris Boucher. So when I talked about some of those three names, some of these guys are going to be on their way out. Some may sign back for sweetheart deals, but nonetheless, there could be some movement with some guys that we saw in the rotation, even at a limit. Kevon Looney played a fair amount. Like, he played at times big minutes, trying to get good defensive minutes against him. You know, LeBron and other and Harden made him look foolish at times, but still, he was a defensive presence for them that they felt was important. Yes?
Yeah, I agree. And I also wanted to mention the Chris Ball deal, because we knew this was going to happen. Everybody feels like they did really well to not have to pay that fifth year. I would absolutely agree. I still feel pretty confident that when we get to year three and year four of this contract, it's going to look really bad. They win a title, none of it matters. Pay them $1 billion a year, nobody in Houston will care. If they don't, it's they had no choice. Like, they absolutely had to pay Chris Paul, so I'm not knocking the move.
They were locked in.
It's just an unfortunate – it could end up being a very unfortunate deal where – Chris Paul at age 35, 36, whatever it is, and the way his health has been, the way what his size is, it could end up being a very ugly contract.
I'm almost of the opinion that it's got to be this year. They're almost just paying him for this year. Can we just keep him healthy? And I would imagine they're going to limit him. They're not going for 67 wins again. I think he plays a limited number of games so that the two-month grind of the playoffs – he can make it through, because frankly, he didn't. He came close, but he didn't make it all the way through. And I think you're right. They were locked in. We've seen this in other sports too. What are we going to do? Let him go? Then what? Then the whole team's blown up,
right?
And it's Gerald Green on a $2.4 million deal with James Harden. And then now what do we do?
Harden would love it.
Because Capella's still out there. They don't know if they're going to get Capella back. Like, he is a restricted free agent, but there are teams that are going after him. He's one of the hotter free agents right now, along with Boogie Cousins. So let's turn the page over to Philly, because I think that's important. I did mention Ersan Ilyasova. He goes to Milwaukee Bucks on a 3-year, $21 million deal. 30 years not guaranteed, but pretty good deal for him. And they had Marco Bellinelli, who goes back to San Antonio Spurs on a 2-year, $12 million deal. He's been there before. He's there again. So Philly, J.J. Redick is still a free agent in Philly. Some consider him to be a top 10. He's a top 10 free agent of the guys that are left. Obviously, he's a hired gun. He can shoot the lights out. And I think is T.J. McDermott a restricted free agent now as well? So anyway, my point of all this is there is a lot of smaller pieces in Philly that have gone away. And it's starting to open up room on the salary cap and elsewhere for deals to be made, whether it's for Kawhi or LeBron or whomever. Those are two of the guys that they were going to have to renounce rights to, basically, and have them move on in order to create this room for a larger deal.
I think that Philly really should push on Kawhi Leonard more. I think that this is tough. We kind of talked about this last week. It's tough to know what San Antonio covets in a package, right? Because if they do want to remain competitive, if they do intend on keeping Marcus Aldridge, then maybe what Philly has to offer wouldn't be as enticing as it would look on paper. But I think that Philly should push hard for this. I really do. And give your culture a chance. You're going to be competitive. If they add Kawhi Leonard, it's them and it's Boston for the Eastern Conference, as long as Kawhi Leonard is healthy. And as you've mentioned, there is a path that they could potentially still then clear the room to bring LeBron James in. So, and that's one of the things. Listen, if right now I got an update on my phone, Kawhi Leonard has been traded to Indiana Pacers, all of a sudden we're going to say, anyone think LeBron could head to Indiana? Very much so. Where Kawhi lands is going to be linked to LeBron. So if we got an update with at any point from now to when LeBron makes a decision that Kawhi is moved somewhere other than the Lakers, it could have a sway. So I do think that Philly should try to be all in, because look at what just happened with Paul George. These things are not guarantees.
Exactly. So Yeah. So look, like I mentioned, I've read a whole bunch about it. I'm not going to wildly speculate on things. Here's the one important part with the Kawhi piece, and we've talked about it before. They don't have to make a move now. They could get, if they decide we're going to do this right up to training camp, and then Kawhi's not going to show up, then we really put him on the market. I think it's fine for them to have conversations now, and it appears that they are having conversations now to see if somebody just comes over the top like Philly and says, here's Fultz and the future number ones, and there you go. Then they can take that deal. But I think Popovich and who he is, he's going to exhaust every possible trick in order to do it. An important thing to note about Philly, the second opinion that Kawhi Leonard went to get in New York, he oversees the medical for Philadelphia 76ers, that same doctor. So that's all detailed in the Kevin O'Connor article in The Ringer. Really important. He may trust that guy. He may understand that Philly now has a employs a doctor that he trusts, which is the heart of the issue in San Antonio. He didn't appreciate the way that he was forced to play or that the way he was evaluated, and he ended up injuring himself worse. He didn't feel comfortable in coming back. You know, all the speculation that came with that, what happened behind the scenes. So it's important to know. It's a fun fact maybe, but it's an important thing because that doctor is known to have a relationship already with Kawhi Leonard. So where we stand now, the unrestricted free agents or the free agents that are still available, LeBron James, obviously, Clint Capella, restricted free agency, Boogie Cousins, we didn't even talk about him, Aaron Gordon, Julius Randle, Marcus Smart, J.J. Redick, Derek Favors, Isaiah Thomas, we already talked about Tyreke Evans, and Jabari Parker is a restricted free agent, as is Zach LaVine. I think that's deep enough to go on that list. Let me see if we missed any other deals that you and I went over. Rudy Gay signs back with the Spurs, 1 year, $10 million.
That was strange.
Doug McDermott got a decent deal, 3 years, $22 million to go to Indiana. He's bounced around the league a ton since he's been here, and he's never even really had a chance to prove that he could be as good in the NBA as he was in college, but then Indiana signs him up.
I mean, he is going to provide them some off-the-bench shooting, which I do think it is going to be valuable. It's not a monster of a contract. It's a nice contract. I did think it was – I don't know how Indiana can – they have other avenues to open up their cap room, not that $8 million is going to kill them. But I know that they wanted to be in the market for restricted free agent Aaron Gordon, so I would hope that this wouldn't take them out of that market because I would like that signing. I also think, and we can talk more about it if we get back to the NBA later on in the program, but I do think the DeAndre Jordan move is impactful. I think it has a trickle-down effect in a number of ways. I think that it impacts Boogie, it impacts Clint Capella. I think it's a big win for the Atlanta Hawks. It's the development of some of the rookies. So I also think that this DeAndre Jordan move, as much as it is going to probably be mostly talked about, is kind of humor. Even DeAndre, as you mentioned before, the emojis that go on with these NBA players, DeAndre Jordan, after the emoji battle that was the Clippers, Dallas heist, all of that stuff, just tweets out the emoji of a guy with a cowboy hat on. So I think that move is interesting. The fact that it was 1 year was surprising. The DeAndre Jordan move, I do think, was... it caught me off guard. Not that he went to Dallas. It's just the way some of these things have been done have even caught me off guard.
Yeah, that was a quick one, too. It was basically right after midnight. Last guy, that was a guy that we saw a lot of, was Aaron Baines in Boston. He re-signs with the Celts. 2 years, $11 million player option for a year, too. We'll come back to that. We'll update you along the way if there's any other big signings. But we're going to turn the page over to football for a little while, take a breather on the NBA. We'll do that right after the break. It's Mike Bluen and Kevin Walsh on Fantasy Sports Today. Thanks for listening to us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be back right after this, top of the hour for hour number two.